I know it's here somewhere.
Finally.
Oh, it's time for the duck. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in.
Enjoy the show.
Yes, we hope you'll enjoy the show this week, and I'm still tweaking that audio. I'm getting it down just right so it will not blow your ears right off your head, you know, just shear them right off. Zing! Anyway, there you go. We're here, you're there, and all's right with the multiverse. Anyway, where was I headed? Oh, yes, I have a number of things to talk to you about today. And the very beginning of the podcast, I want to, before I forget, because if I don't tell you this, I'll forget and you won't even know what's going on, which is par for the course. Anyway, the Samba team has released Samba 3.2. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, Samba, or Samba, I'm not sure. I pronounce it Samba. You can pronounce it however you want to. This is our tech news, by the way. I'm zinging right into that because I have something else I want to share in relation to it. And that is that the Samba team has released Samba 3.2. This is the new version of Samba. It has new features like clustered file server support, easier configuration, improved integration with Microsoft Windows, encrypted network transport, reduced memory requirements, IPv6 support, new library code, new release manager, and it is now licensed under the new general project license. Is that what it GPL stands for now? I don't know. Anyway, version 3. Point is, if you look at this link, this note, on the blog, you will see a new feature, and that's what I wanted to bring out. See, not so much just the information, although that's important in and of itself, but the fact that there's now a new feature at the bottom of each and every blog entry on the blog. Of course, the blog I'm talking about is drbill.cc for computer curmudgeon, drbill.cc. Go to that website, look at the entries, and you'll notice at the very bottom, are you ready? Here it is. There's a bookmark it link. If you click that, it will Web 2.0-ishly unveil a bunch of icons, tons and tons of little icons. Those are all sites from which you can log in and note some of our entries in the blog on various sites. Oh, like, for instance, dig.com, or what's those other sites? There's one called co.mment comments. Never heard of it. And, of course, Delicious, del.icio.us. Cleverly named domain name there. Anyway, point is, all of these different places that you can virally spread information across the interweb, you can now click on these little links and share some of our words of wisdom with the universe. How cool is that? So anyway, my point was not so much about the Samba team releasing Samba 3.2, although, again, that is cool, but rather that new feature in the blog. I was going to mention it last week, forgot, so I figured I better do it right at the beginning of the podcast, otherwise I'd forget again, and nobody would know about the new feature and that kind of thing. Anyway, once you unveil in a Web 2.0-ish Ajaxian way those icons, you can also click on the little thing, Hide Sites, click, and it just slides right back up and hides the sites. It's just so cool that way. Anyway, there you go. Something for you to play with on the blog. Yeah, I know you like to do that. Yes, indeed.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. TechPodcasts.com. If it's tech, it's here.
Yes, if it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, and of course we're also members of Blueberry.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Blueberry.com. I love it the way he says that. That's just so cool. Anyway, speaking of techpodcast.com network members, we've got a promo here from the Force Field podcast. Let's listen to that.
Hi, I'm Rick Savoia, host of the Force Field podcast for IT resellers and service providers. This week, we'll talk with Bryce Whitty, an IT professional who started his own computer business and then created a website called TechNibble that has become a very useful resource for service providers around the world to discuss the IT industry from a business perspective. Join us at www.theforcefield.net and dare to enter the Force Field.
Dare to enter the Force Field. How cool is that? Anyway, there you go. A tech podcast promotion for a fellow tech podcast podcaster. Yes. Anyway, okay. Ooh, guess what? I forgot to... I'm really slipping today as I record this podcast. By the way, as I record the podcast, it is July the 5th. The day after July the 4th, and of course July the 4th is our birthday celebration of America. Salute! And so, happy 4th of July weekend. That's part of the reason that I'm a little out of it on the podcast today is because I have been on vacation, my brain has been shut down, and therefore nothing much has been flowing through the old brain cells. It's just been sitting there going, okay, I'll read a book now. You know, that kind of thing. Playing in the water, swimming around, that kind of thing. So, anyway, so what I did, you see, is I forgot to get any geek culture. I thought of it at one point. I thought to myself, I said, you need to go out and get some geek culture for the podcast. Then I got off involved in some other stuff. And you know how it is. Those electrons, they just fade away if you don't keep watching them closely. Kind of like the cat in the box, you know, Schrodinger's cat. But I digress. Anyway, the point is that I forgot the geek culture. Well, I guess for silly funniness, you'll just have to put up with little old me doing the podcast in a very random manner. More random than usual. Anyway... it's not all bad. You know, maybe I'll just come up with something really lame, like doing something we've already done once before. How's that? Because I don't want to, you know, just not do any geek culture. That would be bad. So, here's our... our geek culture in a really lame manner. How to buy a computer by those guys over at Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. Yes, that's really their name. Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. Don't ask me why. And also don't ask me why it's not... there it is! Finally started playing. What's
Hi,
this?
Hi, this is Wes and Paul from Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie. And welcome to How to Buy a Computer. Over the next few minutes, we're going to explain to you a few simple hints that will take the fear out of buying a personal computer. That's right. You know, Wes, a lot of people out there are asking themselves if they should buy a computer. Well,
I'm asking myself that right now.
Exactly. And the answer is, if you get bored waiting around for the things you own to become obsolete, then a computer is for you.
You bet.
Uh-huh.
Now, the single most important factor to keep in mind when buying your new computer is size.
Mm.
Get one that's too big to throw out the window, because that's what you're going to want to do at least 3 times a day.
Good point, Wes.
Thank
you. That's going to save you big money in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Remember, though, folks, computers are...
You know, the audio quality of this geek culture is terrible. I don't remember it being that terrible the first time around, but it is. And so I will fade it into oblivion, because I can't stand that sound going on. That's just wrong. Okay, so we won't play that. Yeah, it's been that kind of podcast, hasn't it? anyway, okay. You know, it kind of begs the question, do I try something else? Or do I just go on with the podcast? Think I'll just go on with the podcast, because I might choose something that sounds even worse. You never know. Anyway, let's go back to the blog, shall we? And look at some tech news. Yes, we already looked at the Samba release. Now here's the one that was the big news for me this week, mainly because I'm easily entertained, I guess. But this one caught me off guard. I did not see it coming at all. Now, to give you a little background, I am a Lindo / Linspire insider, have been since the inception of the Linspire operating system. It was originally called Lindows, is the reason I said Lindows / Linspire. The whole idea was Michael Robertson, the guy who invented or designed or whatever you want to call it, mp3.com, made his millions there, and then decided, ooh, you know what would be really cool is to stick it to the man and come up with an operating system that general ordinary folks could use that was based on Linux, that was Windows-like, because he was, you know, one of these guys like myself that's not all that impressed with Microsoft and what they have done with their power and monopoly. And so he decided, why don't we come up with a Linux that is very easy to use and people will understand how to use it because it'll be like Windows. And so he came up with Lindows, and it was okay. And it got better through the years, and then finally they had to change their name because they got on Microsoft's radar enough that Microsoft decided to sue their socks off for using the term Lindows, because Lindows was close to Windows, and Microsoft said Windows is our exclusive copyrighted name. You can't use the word Windows. Well, they weren't using the word Windows. They were using the word Lindows. And besides that, it seems to me that Windows existed before Microsoft ever came into being. That is, as a word in the English language. Matter of fact, those things you cut in the side of the wall in your house and put glass in where you can look out, seems to me those are Windows. So if Microsoft was going to sue anybody, wouldn't they sue everybody that's ever built a house on the earth? Ever? Let's not give them any ideas. That's kind of bad. Okay, never mind. I didn't say that. All you evil minions at the Evil Empire, forget I said that. Anyway, so they sued Lindows for using the term Lindows, which they thought was too much like Windows, mainly because they wanted to crush them out of existence, which is what they do. It's their hobby, actually. Anyway, so it went to court. They spent years in court, and finally the judge, who had had enough, said, look, you people are completely lame. I'm going to rule in favor of Lindows because Microsoft is the evil empire. And Microsoft went, oh no, what are we going to do now? So Michael Robertson, I'm expanding the story because it's a lot of fun. Michael Robertson went to Microsoft and said, we have you over the barrel. The judge is going to rule in our favor. You are doomed. And Microsoft said, can we maybe give you a ton of money so you'll leave us alone? And Michael Robertson said, sure, I'll take your money. And while I'm at it, I'll take all your codecs too. Kind of reminds me of Wizard of Oz. And your little dog too. Anyway, the point is, they also got the right to use Microsoft's codecs in Lindows, which they, by way of their agreement, decided to rename. That was part of the actual resolution of the case. They said, okay, we won't use the word Lindows. We'll call it Linspire. Oh, yeah, that's helpful. And so they renamed it Linspire, and that's how all that happened. But in the process, they got a ton of money from Microsoft, and they got the codecs that would allow them to make Linspire actually play Windows Media Player, you know, audio and stuff like that. So it actually made the operating system better. So I'm pretty sure that from most people's point of view, Microsoft lost that battle, and there was great rejoicing. Yay! Anyway, the point is, over time, all of Linux got cool and more Windows-like, and Ubuntu came on the scene, and when they did, Linspire kind of went and started fading away because Ubuntu is just so cool, right? So, in the process, Michael Robertson decided he would leave the company because he really didn't want to be on the sinking ship. But no, he became one of those figurehead guys, you know, where he wasn't involved in the day-to-day operations, and he was still there. But yeah. Anyway, the point is nobody cares about all that. The point is that what has happened is that Zandros Linux has bought Linspire, Lock, Stock, and Bagels. Yes. And they now own all of Linspire's stuff, including CNR. That's the click-and-run way or methodology of installing software under Linux, where you just pick it on the screen, click, and it's installed. I mean, even Windows doesn't do that. How cool is that? At any rate, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens to all the technology that's been developed by Linspire, and now Zandros has it. Just amazing. That was kind of one of their main competitors. So they're strange. We will watch that. Well, it's time for the Geek Software of the Week, and yes, this week's Geek Software of the Week is really, really cool. Now, if you've ever developed programs for your computer, either through some esoteric language like, I don't know, Visual Basic, I kid. Anyway, or through something odder, like in my case, I use WinBatch. Very odd. But it's compilable and can turn in your programs into exes, executables. And then you need an icon to go with your program to make it look cool when you put it on your desktop. So it'll have a neat little icon. Well, I looked for years for a cool icon editor. And I went through one called Microangelo. Ha ha. Cute name, right? Anyway, fairly inexpensive, not too bad. And then I found one called, what's it called? I think it's called Icon XP. Let me look very quickly. I still have it in my programs here. Yes, Icon XP. That's a neat little program, but again, you have to pay for it. And, you know, you pay a little bit here for a program, a little bit there for a program. After a while, it adds up to real money. So, it would be nice to have a program that does all those things those other programs do and allows you to edit icons and do cool stuff with them without costing anything. And so that's why this week's Geek Software of the Week is so cool. It is IcoFX, I-C-O-F-X. It is a free, 100% free icon editor that will allow you to do all kinds of iconic things. It's really cool. Let me read you some of the list of features. You won't believe the features. Tons of features. A whole lot more even than some of those programs I mentioned a few moments ago that cost money. And that is support for Vista icons with PNG compression. Create icons for Windows 98 ME 2000 XP and Vista. Support for Macintosh OS X icons. Dude. Convert Macintosh icons to Windows icons. Create icon libraries. Create fave icons for websites or blogs. You know, that's a little tiny icon in your browser when you use Firefox and go to a website and they have a fave icon. Those are cool. And I've been using a website called Fave Icons from Pix to do that. Now, just since I'm digressing so much today anyway, let me tell you about Fave Icons from Pix. If you have an image, you know, any kind of image, file, you know, photo, something like that, then you can use this web-based tool to create fave icons. Now, the website address, are you ready? Get your pencil ready. Go find... Well, actually, you don't have to do that because this is a podcast. You can always just back it up and listen to the URL again. But it's fun to say, go get your pencil. Anyway. So once you get your pencil, write this down. www.chami.com, let's call it chami.com/html-kit/services/favicon, favicon. I told you you'd have to write it down. It's a long URL. What are you going to do? Anyway, the point is, you can browse by clicking the little browse button, find an image on your site, and then click generatefaveicon.ico. It will allow you then to download that to your system and give you that image as a fave icon. Whoa, that was a lot of stuff to be totally unrelated to what I was talking about. Well, kind of, sort of related to what I was talking about, which is this week's Geek Software of the Week, IcoFX, the icon editor, because it will allow you to create the fave icon for your website or blog without having to use fave icons from Pix, which is hard to say rapidly. At any rate, wow, an extra tip thrown in the middle of a Geek Software of the Week. How random can you be? Easily convert images to icons. I'm going on now with the features of IcoFX, just in case you're wondering. Add, change, delete icons inside of .exe files. Now, there's a cool feature. Support for transparency. In other words, it has an alpha channel. Cool. Batch processing for import, export, and extract. Multiple language support. More than 40 effects plus custom filters. Resolutions up to 256 by 256. Data types 216, 256, two trucks. True color plus alpha. That's that transparency thing again. Extract icons from 32-bit XEs and DLLs. Import and export icons. Transparent, darken, blur, brighten, sharpen. All those kinds of things. And that's just a short list. Whew, man. Lots and lots of features. So there you go. This week's Geek Software of the Week. You know, I have to wonder how long... Yes, I've gone 22 minutes and I'm still rambling around kind of off the wall. Anyway, what else was I going to mention? Oh, yes, I was going to mention the fact that you need to go to the blog, drbill.cc. Go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the Go to My PC link for a free trial of Go to My PC, which will help you immensely. And did I mention, I think I did last week, yes I did, I mentioned that they now have a Mac version. You need Go to My PC. Try it for 30 days free by clicking on that link. It will help you a great deal to be able to get to your PC from anywhere on the interweb. So do that. Okay. Now, back to our regularly sponsored program. You know, Centric Systems is a wonderful sponsor to sponsor the podcast for us. And so that's why I had to throw that in there, because if I didn't, they would come beat me with a stick, I'm sure. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, new Patch Tuesday comes up and has a Vista fix. Yes, indeed, this month's Microsoft Patch Tuesday. I'm just totally off my groove, what can I say? Anyway, this month's Patch Tuesday has the regular security updates because, as we know, Microsoft Windows is the most insecure operating system in the universe, and so that's why they have regular monthly security updates. But they also, this month, have a big Vista reliability fix. So if you've been using Vista... yeah... If you've been using Vista, then you can download this fix and maybe it will work better. I wouldn't count on it, though. Okay, there's also, in the next item, a bug fix release of Ubuntu 8.04. You know, when you release software, you find new little bugs and cute things that are going wrong. And so Ubuntu is fixing them. They're frantically out there going, I'm going to get this fixed. And so they have fixed a whole bunch of stuff. And as icing on the cake, so to speak, they have added Firefox version 3, the official release, into the new version of Ubuntu. Now, let's keep in mind, this is still Ubuntu 8.04 LTS, long-term support. However, It is now Ubuntu 8.04-1 because this is the new bug fix release. Now, if you've already installed Ubuntu 8.04 LTS and you've been doing your regular updates as you should be, then all of this stuff has come down for you automatically, and that's fine. But if you haven't installed it yet, then you need to download the new ISO, because then you won't have all those updates to do, right? Cool. There you go. All right, next item. A new study confirms that Firefox is the safest browser. Now, of course, this is not news to us that use Firefox. I just mentioned that Firefox 3.0 is in the new Ubuntu 8.04-1. So there's a reason that so many people are so excited about Firefox 3.0. It is the most secure web browser. And that has been proven scientifically by this study. And the study was done by, are you ready, the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, Google, and IBM in a study together. Now, the study found that less than 60%, actually exactly 59.1% of people, use up-to-date, that is, fully patched web browsers. So I think that's actually pretty good. Less than 60%, 59.1% of people actually use fully patched web browsers. Sounds better than I would expect it. I'd have figured it'd been 0.1%, you know. But, hey, that's not bad. However, the study also found that the most unsafe browser of all time is Internet Explorer. Ha ha ha. We knew that was the case. Yes. So, you need to download Firefox from Mozilla. Go to mozilla.com, mozilla.com, and download Firefox, the web browser, if you haven't already. And I know if you're listening to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, which is this podcast, you've already done that anyway because you're smart people. I know you are. And as a matter of fact, whenever I build a system, first thing I do is I download Firefox because I don't want to be stuck using Internet Explorer and have the thing just freak out and grab every kind of evil malware in the universe and bring it into my system that I'm just now building. I mean, how lame would that be? So the very first thing I do is download. I use Internet Explorer one time only. Download Firefox and then immediately close it down and go, don't touch that blue E, whatever you do. Okay. So, Firefox. Believe me, it is the way to go. Wow. Anyway, so there you go. Once again, we have ventured into the podcast realm, and we've come up with a Dr. Bill podcast. How odd is that? Ha ha. So anyway, guess it's just about time for us to head off into the sunset. And in fact, there's that music telling us just that very thing. Isn't that odd how that happens just about the time of the end of the podcast? So until next time, remember, the doctor is out of here.